Hey guys, it's Cherie. So I said I was gonna like do some type of sharing about the Daniel Fast, and I decided to do a podcast. So I've had a podcast for a while and I haven't been updating it. So I said this would be a good way to update it, to share a couple things and to just kind of like talk, I guess. I haven't really spoken about it, probably only up to my mother. So today is Wednesday the 24th, February. The fast ended on Sunday the 21st. It was a 21-day fast. It started the first day in February, and that was a Monday, and it ended February 21st on a Sunday. So just to be clear, I did the Daniel fast for spiritual reasons. It was not because I wanted to lose weight. It wasn't a form of a diet. A couple people inboxed me and they were just like, "Well, how are you losing weight and stuff like that?" And while it did limit my food intake when it comes to unhealthy food, I didn't do it just to as a diet form. So why did I do the Daniel fast? Well, I had already wanted had decided that I wanted to kind of not kind of I wanted to, get back in church and get built rebuild or my relationship with God. I felt like it was good, but it could be stronger. I wasn't reading my Bible every single day. I would pray sometimes, sometimes not. Honestly, maybe I fall asleep before I said my nightly prayer or whatever the case was. But always knew Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. That was never like an issue. I wasn't, in the search of trying to figure out religion or find, what spiritual route I wanted to take. I knew, where I wanted to be. And I have a home church. I just don't go every Sunday. I haven't been going up until recently every Sunday. And so the good thing about my church, Hope Christian Center, is that they are really good digitally. So I always get emails and everything like that that's going on in the church to keep you in the loop. So they were doing a 50-day morning prayer, and I was getting the emails. And basically, what the 50-day morning prayer was, our pastor Stevenson was he was going on the internet and doing prayer in the morning at 6 o'clock. So I got in the email. And of course, I was just like, no, 6 o'clock in the morning, that's just too early. I'll pray later on in the day. It won't be 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I got to this point like probably like mid-January. Like I was just really feeling down, and I was just like, I need to do something different. And different is for me, it wasn't like, going on like a meditation, or it wasn't any of those things where people, I guess, were kind of just saying, "Well, read a self-help book, or read this, or read that." I think I read a good amount, where it was just still feeling like a void or whatever the case is. And I knew that the void was, my relationship with God, that I needed to build it to make it stronger. So on a particular day, I actually got another email, and I opened the email. It was like 2 days before the fast started. So I got the email, and it was about the morning prayer call. I was like, I should just give this prayer call a try. And when I got the email, it was saying, well, along with the 50 days of prayer, they're gonna add in the Daniel fast, and it would be 21 days of fasting. Now, when I was younger, I've grown up in the church, meaning that I was one of those kids that was on a choir. I went to Sunday school. My grandmother was a grandmother who knew everybody in the church. I had the notepad with the butterscotch candy and the dresses that matched my sister's. Probably up until like junior high school, like when I was kind of made to go to church. So, and then I went to private school, so religion was actually a course. So I've memorized Bible verses from very early on in my life. So I knew what fasting could do, and I knew the spiritual growth that came with fasting. I had only ever fasted one time in my life prior to doing this fast. It was when I was first informed that my goddaughter had got cancer. So I had did a fast, for on to pray and to help with that, to cope and to, but her healing and health and all of that goes along with fasting when somebody is sick or ill. And so I had never done a fast after that. And I knew about fasting, but I never did the Daniel fast. And I've heard about the Daniel fast. So I opened the email. I'm like, you know what? This is right here. This is gonna be the thing that I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do the Daniel fast. And I had committed it right then and there. I committed myself to doing the fast. Then I Googled the fast and I was just like, oh snap. This fast is very strict. And if I would have Googled the fast first before I like prayed to God and said, I'm going to do this fast no matter what, and I'm going to stick with it and do it. I really had just like put it all out there to God. And I was just like, I'm going to do it. If I would have Googled it first, my confidence in myself would have just been like, nah, you'll catch the next fast. Maybe if they doing the midwinter fast. But when I looked at the fast, the first thing I thought was like, I'm never going to get through this fast. It's too strict. Basically, it took everything I ate and it just said, you can't eat any of that. But I was already committed. I had already committed. And one thing about me, if I say I'm going to do something, when it comes to a regular person, I do it. So if I commit myself to, you know, God, I definitely was just like, yeah, you got to do it. You got to just thug it out. So I went into the fast thinking, you know, I'm going to get clarity on my life and my future, and I'm not going to be confused, and I'm not going to be, you know, I'm going to get all of this clarity. And so it was like going to start the first of February. I opened the email like Saturday night or Sunday night. So I wasn't prepared at all. I just committed because I felt like I was just that much in need, or, you know, just yearning, you know, at that point, to just figure something out, to figure this out, whatever, you know, this whole life thing. And the first day, so before I went, you know, food shopping, so like I said, I didn't go food shopping. I wasn't prepared. And so I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna do it anyway. Monday, I got up and then I was just like, all of this stuff that I can't eat. And so I didn't eat anything for breakfast. I didn't eat anything for lunch the first day. It was so interesting because I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to starve for 21 days. And so I put it on social media, like, you know, I'm going to do dairy fast. What should I, you know, be eating? Or, and then, you know, people gave me their feedback. And that was the thing that I was looking for, because every time I did a Google search, it was everything that I couldn't eat. It wasn't really saying what I could eat. And when I say what I can eat, I mean based on my eating habits. So then, you know, somebody said, oh, go vegan or do this and do that. And so I started to form kind of like a list. The first week was just kind of like, it was a struggle. It was a struggle of the flesh, of the mind, of me just like even thinking like, why am I doing this? The great thing about it was like, I feel like the first 2-3 days, the only thing that really didn't make me give up was the fact that we had to read a chapter out of John every day, because John has 21 chapters. So every day that you were on the fast, you read a chapter out of the Bible. Out of that specific, you know, John. And so reading the Bible, praying a lot, you had to reel back on social media, which in the beginning, I was like, well, how am I going to do that? And I'm like running a site and, you know, that makes no sense. But then I was like, you know, should we pull back? Because you are on social media a lot when you're not doing anything for your site. You just be nosy, looking at clothes and bags and celebrities and television. And, you know, watching certain things that'll infiltrate your mind. And so I only allotted myself like one show a day. Sometimes it wouldn't even be one show. I would just kind of like put things in the place of that, whether I was reading or, you know, listening to a podcast. I had to fill the time, because if I didn't, it would remind me that I was missing something. So the first week I was really trying to stay focused, and I was just like aggravated, and I was just going through a lot. Even though reading the Bible was helping me, to read one chapter out the Bible for me was a lot, because I wasn't reading the Bible every single day. And like I said, while I prayed, I didn't pray every single night, or even multiple times a day, every day. And that's just being honest. And if I did pray, it wasn't to the extent that I was praying now. It just was different. My prayers in the morning would be, Father God, thank you for waking me up this morning, start me on my way. Please don't let anybody get on my nerves. Amen. And at night it was me begging for stuff. So it was different. And so reading the Bible for the first week, it kind of, and waking up to my pastor, you know, giving his good word for 15 minutes, it opened me up to just receiving, you know, what the point of the fast was. And I think that's what I really wanted to share. So I kind of wrote down like a couple things that I wanted to share with you guys that I figured out on my way doing the fast, which was interesting because I just kind of let myself write. I didn't journal every day. I just wrote, you know, what I felt, I guess, in the bulks. It wasn't like I just put Dear Journal today. No, I didn't do that because some days it was just like, no. I just kind of just put like names and then I kind of just kind of like wrote, free wrote. So I'll just share a couple just because what I wanted, what I went into the fast with and what I got out of the fast was two totally different things. I went into the fast basically wanting Jesus and God, you know, I just wanted some form of like divine intervention to show me the future. And then I wanted to quote unquote be close to God in like 21 days. And what I learned was I picked topics. So one of the first things I had as a topic, it was crazy. It was cursing. And then I wrote like whatever I learned from it. It was just like me free writing. And I put part habit, part environment, and then I put part defense mechanism. And it was so crazy because when I wrote, I was just like, huh? Part defense mechanism. That doesn't make sense. I could deal with the habit, environment, and but defense mechanism kind of threw me off because with habit, I just, you know, habit, I, you know, you get kind of when you're young and you get to curse and say what you want to do, you just kind of start cursing. Environment was be I would say I kind of understood that part while I wrote it because I'm in a field where some people would say the entertainment industry, media industry, whatever you want to call it, but a lot of times when I cover events and even like in past jobs, I remember the first internship that I got, after matter of fact, the second one, I don't want to say the first one was the second one. When I was in the interview, they definitely asked me, was I okay with, was I comfortable with people cursing around me basically all the time and how, you know, to the extent of the amount of cursing. I was like, sure. And of course, I'm like 21, 22, and I want to fit in and I want to, you know, be a part of this environment because it was something that I really wanted to do. And if you ask a young person who really just wants to, you know, follow their dreams at all costs and don't have, you know, just doesn't, I didn't have the proper guidance at that time because at that point, I could have just made the decision to say, yeah, I can still definitely work here, but I know who I am, but I wanted to fit in too. And I already was cursing, so it was like it wasn't going to bother me. All it did was enhance my cursing. So that's why I can definitely see why I said part environment. When I say part, so when I said part defense mechanism, I was just kind of like, well, I don't get it. And I kind of prayed on it. And then, like, one, I think at night, it kind of like opened me up a little bit. I was like, oh, I get it when I thought about it. For me, talking is not hard. Sometimes expressing how I feel personally about certain situations, that becomes hard. I can talk about many topics, you know, but when it comes to my personal emotions, that becomes a situation. And sometimes when somebody hurts my feelings, it's way easier for me to say F you or just call them out their names or say something that fills the blank of me not having to say, well, you hurt me and that hurt my feelings and I'm sad because blah blah blah, because I'm from New York. I'm not saying that's like an excuse, but I'm from Brooklyn, East New York to be exact, and to just be walking around saying, oh, my feelings is hurt, it's just no, you know, it's not, that's not the, I just wasn't raised in that type of way, I guess. My mom is very, you know, loving and caring, all the other stuff, but I just, you know, for the most part, it wasn't that. So when I realized it was a defense mechanism and me not wanting to express my emotions when somebody says something to me, I kind of was like, wow, you know, it, the habit, the environment, and then the defense mechanism. So if anybody's out there who understands that or kind of even gets it, that's one of the reasons I was like, well, I did want to stop cursing or at least ease up. So that's one of the things I guess I learned about myself during this fast. What else? Goals. And this is what I'm just writing. I mean, this is what I'm just reading what I wrote. You set a lot of goals, you get scared a lot, and you play it safe. So when you by the standards of others, it would be a big win when you win, when in reality it was a safe win. And I guess I kind of knew that. And I just, when I read it back to myself the first time, it was like one of those aha moments. So for me, I always have these big super duper goals. Like they're just so big. And when I tell them to people, the look on their faces, it always like shows me that it's such a big, it's, I'm in over my head, I guess. And then I'll just be like, you know what? Let me scale it back or let me like play it safe with this. So technically, it's almost like making sure that I won't lose. Even though I have a lot of many failures, but when I do win, I feel like I played it safe. So my mother might say I did an amazing job, but I'm just like, it was a safe win. So I think now moving forward, it's like, you know what? Don't be afraid to have a big goal and to be afraid that you might not accomplish it, because you will, because you work hard. And even if you don't win how you want to win, it'll still be a win because you decided to take the risk and put all your cards on the table. So that's what I kind of got from that as well. What else? I'm not going to share everything because some of it is very personal. I think social media, I put it's part of your life, it's not a crutch. For me, I'm on social media a lot just because I run my site, Dorm Television, dormonline.com. Shameless plug, right? And you know, a lot of it comes down to what, how many likes you have, how many followers you have, who notices you, who doesn't notice you, the attention of people who you want to grab, the, you know, just all of that stuff. And sometimes, if you're not careful, it can consume you. And in my earlier, when I was in my 20s, my early 20s, it was very consuming, especially because, like I said, I really wanted to work in this industry really, really bad. So you put in so much work, not even realizing that it's consuming you and it's doing so much, and you get dragged in, or you get sucked in. I wouldn't say dragged because nobody's forcing you. You get sucked in to this level of everything matters because somebody liked it. You know what I mean? So sometimes I would just go on Facebook and I would put up a picture that I, you know, and then I come away and I would be having like a bad day, and I'll look to Facebook. Oh, I got a couple, you know, people liked it or said I was pretty, and that will give me like a self-esteem boost. I don't think it's a bad thing, but what I will say is that when you don't get that, or when you are having a bad day and you depend on somebody liking you or making a nice comment about you for you to feel good about yourself, I think that becomes the problem. Or when you would post things that you wouldn't necessarily post, that's out of your character or your personality, just to get a like, or you know, the case, whatever the case is. Yeah, we do can I love social media and the fact that we can have our, you know, online friendships and have real conversation and be connected. But at the same time, it's not a crutch. We can't use it as a crutch because we have real lives. And for me, well, lately, probably in the past year or so, that's been one of my at the top of my list to make sure that it's not a crutch for me. And it's hard because I have to be on social media a lot, and I'm always reporting something or promoting something. If you look at any of my pages on Dorm Television, or even my personal pages, I'm always promoting something. So you rely I rely on social media for that aspect, but not to hold it as a crutch where it if I don't get that many likes on a picture or a flyer or something, it won't end my world. You know what I mean? Because social media doesn't define me, and I don't want to use it as a crutch to always have to stand on. Yeah, I'm on it a lot, but I also have a lot that I don't put on social media at all. And that's to me what matters the most. And, you know, it's deep. It's hard and it's deep because it's like, on the one hand, it's like, well, we control it and you post what you want to post and you take from what you don't take from it. But at the same time, we're like the first generation social media people. Nobody has come before us, you know, that have done this before to say, well, this is how you should do it, or this is how much time you used to spend on it. We're like guinea pigs. And so we kind of have to learn from it. So for me, that's one of that was another like takeaway. What's another one? Oh, failure. I put you want to win all the time. It's in your nature. It's actually why you succeed. But because you are human, you won't always win how you expect it. It's not losing if you gave it your all and played to win. See where you slipped and try again. So for me, I'm like I said, I've never claimed to be like holier than thou, and I share my failures as much as I share my wins. Sometimes it may seem like I'm sharing so many wins, but I'll tell you in a heartbeat, honey, if I get one win that came after about 15, 30 no's. But I think that when you play to win and you give it your all and you're trying to be very excellent and you're at least trying to meet your own expectations and sometimes the expectations of others, when you don't get there or you don't hit the the mark, you take it so bad. I know for me, I take it hard, you know, and I go, I'm very hard on myself. So I'm just like, if you gave it your all for real and you played to win for real, then it wasn't necessarily a loss. It was just you learning and acknowledging that you did something good and acknowledging that you tried and you did win. It's just not the way you wanted to win the first go round, but you did win. And to kind of talk yourself into being a better person, you know, from learning from this, or maybe the next time you'll do better. Patience. Oh my God. I put you have patience. Well, you do, but only when you are controlling and creating the environment, or when it's something you want. And I think that's true. I have patience when it comes to my work. I have patience when it comes to, you know, projects I'm involved on. I have patience when it comes to something that I'm kind of contributing to or controlling. When it's out of my control, when I'm not actively contributing to it, it's hard for me to have patience. And the one thing that I'll say, teaching people social media has definitely helped me have patience. And I want to be a person that's very patient when it comes to dealing with other people, because I know how it feels when people are not patient with me. And some a lot of times I'm very impatient with people, even if I'm not saying it verbally. I'm sure they could feel it maybe. And I want to definitely work on that, because I've been in situations, and that's the thing, I don't ever want people to feel be impatient with me, because I know how it feels. Especially, like I said, I always use the example of math. I'm not really good at math, so anytime a teacher has ever taught me math and they would breathe hard or sigh, it's like I felt like I was inadequate, like I was dumb, or I wasn't getting it as well as the other kids, so it made me feel less than. And so I know how it feels when somebody's impatient with you. And it doesn't have to be with math. It could be anything in relationships and friendships. If you're not moving at a pace like everybody else, you feel like something is wrong with you. When in the reality, it's just that this is your pace. I'm always the last Larry in anything. I feel like in everything, I've always been the last Larry. So when it comes to having patience with other people, I definitely have to go into it now, recognizing how I've always felt when I've been on the other end of somebody being impatient with me. And so that was a big moment that I took out the fast. What else? Faith. I put I'm trying, I'm working on it. Those are the parentheses. It says that has been your go-to with everything. Can you just have it already? Just believe. But believe even when dot dot dot. The thing about me with faith is that I've always said I'm working on it, I'm trying. And I get frustrated with myself, because I'm just like, well, Sheree, are you gonna believe or you're not gonna believe? You need to pick something and just stay on that. And the thing is, I'm always saying that, you know, I thank God for all of this and I'm grateful and da da da. But it's like, do you have faith even when dot dot dot, even when somebody dies, even when things don't go your way, even when somebody gets sick, even when, you know, your house gets flooded. You know, even when your whole world is basically falling upside down. And I've had it where I felt like my life was like just up in arms, and I just could hear people say, like, yeah, I could hear, you know, where is your faith? You know, where is your faith in those moments? And that's what I wanted to restore, and that's what I wanted to do, and that's what something I wrote down, because, you know, having faith is when you. When you go through things, even when, you know, life, technically, we're always fighting a battle. Always. It's always something. It's either coming or you're in it. And the thing about it is, that's how life works. Even, you know, with the good and everything that we have that's good, but it's always a battle that we're fighting through, whether it's emotional, financial. But the thing is, when you're in with God and when you have a relationship, you can have peace going through those battles, knowing that you'll come out on the other side and you'll be okay. And that's what I want to, you know, get to that point of not worrying so much, not being so frustrated, not being so sad and not crying. You know, it's human nature to have those reactions, but knowing that, you know, my father will carry me through this and I will get through it. You know, trouble don't last always, you know, having that and holding on to that, because when you're going through it, you know, those Bible verses, they're there for a reason. It, you know, the word is there for a reason. you got to lean onto it, because I don't know how to navigate without it. You know what I mean? And I've seen who I was when I was trying to navigate without it, when I was going through, you know, certain situations. And those are the things I will share. So those are the things that I learned. I went into the fast basically wanting to know what my future was going to be. And, should I move here? Am I going to be successful? I wanted some type of, I guess, a genie in a bottle type situation to happen in 21 days. What I got from the fast, you know, along with the things that I listed about myself, was that what I learned. Because like I said, I just put topics and I just wrote freely. And I kind of like prayed on it and tried to ask for clarity on why did I write certain things. And then I came to those conclusions. What I will say is that going through the fast, it taught me a lot. And I thank God that my pastor used John specifically for us to read every day. You could use anything, any chapters. But that book of the Bible was just very important, because this is when Jesus goes, go to be crucified. And you see it can make me cry every time I, talk about it. You see that Jesus had the most human experience. You know, he dealt with every type of hurt, every type of pain, you know, everything. In those 21 chapters, it's crazy. You see so much that went on. And to know that, you know, he still loved us, you know, immensely. You know, and he still, you can see time and time again, example after example after example, of where humans were just horrible to him. And he still had hope, and he still had faith, and, you know, he still believed. And I think, God, that those were the chapters that I was reading throughout this fast, because every single chapter, I learned something from it that was just amazing. The experience to me, it opened me up. It made me very patient. It made me listen more. It made me take a lot of time, especially with food. I think when you give up something and you feel like everybody's taking this from me, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. Because the third week, I was just like, oh, I don't want to do this no more. I'm counting down. And I was like, Sheree, this is not a countdown to like New Year's Eve or something. This is something that you're doing for your spirit and your relationship with God. So I had to, you know, step back and really say, get out your flesh and really like be grounded into what you're doing. This is not just something that you're playing around with just to say, I finished the fast. This is the beginning of your renewed, you know, relationship with God. So I had to really kind of like clamp down on it a couple of times. A couple of times I was just looking at the calendar like, okay, another day, we're done. You know what I mean? And just knowing that, because this is my honest thing, I felt like a 2-year-old. Like if you was to put a 2-year-old outside and to have them outside and you see them like maybe in a pamper just running up the block, how a 2-year-old would look without a mother and a father. You would be looking at them. The first thing you would say is, where's your parents? Like, where's this child's parentals? Where's, like, this child is in danger. This child needs help. Call somebody. And to me, that's how I felt without, you know, having a relationship with Ustro. Like, this, this is how I felt going into the fast. I felt like I was that child outside, a 2-year-old just walking outside and feeling like, where are your parents? Like, I didn't feel covered because I wasn't doing the things that to me I knew that I, you know, was supposed to do. And to me, this fast kind of opened me up to a lot. And it was a journey, it was an experience. And what I thought I was going to get from it is not what I got. You know, I saw a lot of things because I was so focused on my future. And the things that it showed me was the things that I need to deal with now that'll prepare me for my futures and that'll prepare me for my opportunities. It's a lot of boulders, you know, that I have. And sometimes in order to get the things you want, to have the opportunities you want and to truly appreciate it and to understand where your help comes from and to acknowledge, you know, those things, you need to recognize the stuff that you already hold now and to understand how to deal with that. Because if you can't, with the little bit of success or whatever that I got now, or the little bit of success that you have now while you're building your empire, whatever you want to do, you have to deal with the stuff that you have, whether it's low self-esteem, whether it's depression, whether it's a bad attitude, whatever it is, all the stuff, some of the stuff I just listed, and being impatient person, doing whatever it is, you have to deal with it now, because when you get those opportunities, sometimes you can block your own blessings because you have the stuff. So I think the fast kind of taught me that I need to deal with my stuff now, so when I get those big blessings and I get those opportunities, I'll know how to properly handle it. There's a lot of things I think now that I'm really thinking about it, if it was given to me, if I was presented with it, I wouldn't know how to handle it. I wouldn't know how to appreciate it. I wouldn't know how to react towards it. I wouldn't, if the platform that I've been on and the microphone or whatever the case is, or whatever I'm speaking into, it wouldn't have been as positive as it is now, because I know that it's not just coming out of my mouth for just to say some stuff. You know, I'm trying to be a vessel, and I'm trying to do good, and I'm trying to inspire and empower, and I'm trying to do it through, you know, the word of God, not just through just because I think I'm cool enough, you know? And so that's been my thing. And that is kind of what I learned. Yeah, I wanted like a fortune cookie type, you know, fasting period to get that out of it. But I think what I got out of it was to see the things that I need to work on now so I can become the woman that I want to be, and the woman that I want to be, you know, a woman of God, you know, and to have that. Because if all these things, if I get all these material things, will you still, you know, trust God and have the same type of faith? And, you know, a lot of times you get money and get opportunity, you forget, you know, who to thank, and you forget for real. And to have, and if it was taken away from me, I still want to have the same amount of faith that I went into it before. And I still want to, you know, read the word and still lean onto what I did before any of it happened, and even after it happened. So I think what, you know, for me, it was about learning and acknowledging the things that I need to work on now for the future, and, you know, for everything that I actually want for my life and for myself, recognizing what I do need to work on immediately and what I can work on. And then building that relationship with God and knowing that God is the rock. You move away from the rock don't move. And knowing that you can always come back no matter how, you know, that's always my thing. I always be feeling like, well, you know what? I ain't been to church in so long. What's the point? Or I'm not, you know, worthy enough. Not necessarily worthy, but I'm just so wrong. You know, how I'm going to get right? Or I'll just keep putting it off. I'll do it like next year. And you can be who you are. You can be, have your humor and who your personality. Yeah, you change once you get into the word and you get into, you know, growing your relationship. But you want to change. You know what I mean? You want to be better. You want to, you know, cut out bad habits. You want to do that because you want to please God. But you can still be funny and humorous and have a good time and have your three bundles and, you know, go out and all of that stuff. So, you know, I'm excited about, because that was the whole thing. I'm like, oh God, now that it's over, what am I going to do now? It's 21 days was for me to give something up and get all this clarity and to learn what I need to work on and to begin anew. And most of this, to begin anew. Now I go to church. I read the Bible every day. I made a commitment. It's only 3 days after, so I can't say so much. But, you know, I'm still getting up in the morning and praying. Still reading a chapter out of the Bible, and I want to continue to do that, and I want to continue to bring people around me that are on the same path so we can grow from each other and I can learn from them, and you know, just keep going. And for anybody who's interested in doing a Daniel fast, yes, it's hard, and yes, you'll roll your eyes a whole bunch of times, but I do think it's worth it, and I will be doing it again next year. I will always say that with a laugh because I'm like, it's so hard. But I think it'll be like, you know, something, you know, I'll look forward to doing and learning more about yourself on the inside and like God really showing you and knowing that he loves you. Like if anything else, you know, like I have a lot of confidence now. Just like now I said, I was that kid who was in a diaper who kind of didn't feel covered. I feel very covered and I have the confidence. It's like when you like now I'm the kid with the clothes on. I got the mommy and daddy walking next to them. And it's like if you say anything to him, he gonna look at his mommy and his daddy because he got his peoples with him. He got his family. He knows that he's covered and protected. That's how I feel now. Before, I didn't feel that way. I felt like the kid that was, outside and you're just like, no parents, I didn't feel covered. Now I feel very confident again. I felt like how I felt when I was younger, and I could just say, you know, oh, Jesus is my homeboy, you know what I mean? And really mean it, because I, you know, was in it like that. And it's funny because my faith when I was younger, Jesus, it was on fleek. So yeah, that's just what I wanted to share. And if you need any tips on how to do the Daniel Fast, let me know. Because I did a whole bunch of remixes to the Daniel Fast. But I didn't have any fried foods. I didn't have any junk food. I had a lot of fruits. And it made me become very appreciative of the things that I could have, and appreciative just of things in general. I had put strawberries with everything, so I wouldn't, like, my plate might not look appetizing, but I would get up and be like, oh yes, I'm gonna have strawberries. So that made me smile. And just thank you to everybody who gave me recipes. To Tilda, Adri V, who else? It was so many people. Shaquana, my mom, she always got me fruit. She was the best. She made these beans that didn't have meat in it. She was so amazing. And that was another thing that I found out. When you put out what you're doing and it's positive and it's for, you know, God, I felt like God sent me some people that was going to say, Sheree, I'm going to hold you down. And like my mom and like my sister, she made vegetables. Like, it was so interesting to see that when you put things out, and like I made the time, and I would, people like my mom or whoever, somebody would come and ask me to do something, I'd be like, oh, I'm praying. She's like, you know what, I need to start praying more too. So when you start doing things and you start trying to be positive and you start doing it, you know, the will of God, it opens up a lot. And I got two interesting opportunities this month or next month that I was just like, it's funny, because I was praying about, you know, getting more opportunities and praying that, you know, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, show me something, Lord. Show me something in a way that I understand that I'm on the right path. And so I think that maybe that was confirmation that I'm doing okay, and I should just keep working harder and be patient. But yeah, that's it. This is a long podcast, so feel free to fast forward or whatever else. Make sure you log into my site, ShereeHereFor.com, and visit Dorm Television, DormOnline.com. I'm on Twitter, @ShereeWrites. @DormTV. And that's it. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.